Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Denver-based filmmaker Justin Kaler says he's a South Dakota kid who wants to tell South Dakota stories. His first documentary film, seen on SDPB-TV, The Buffalo King, told the story of James Scotty Phillip, who helped save the bison from extinction. Kaler is now working on a documentary telling the story of another South Dakota legend, bronc rider Casey Tibbs. Between 1949 and 1955, Tibbs won a total of 6 PRCA saddle bronc riding championships, a record still unchallenged, plus 2 all-around cowboy championships and 1 bareback riding championship. Kaler's Casey Tibbs documentary, Floating Horses, is in the early stages of production, and the filmmaker hopes to have it done by the end of next year, all depending on funding. And Justin Kaler joins us on the line, and welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Well, was Casey Tibbs an obvious choice for a documentary subject after you finished up the Scotty Phillips documentary?
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, when you're looking for a subject matter, a person, or an event, you want something that not only the people that know that history, but people outside of that knowledge will be drawn to a story. And Casey has that. I mean, he lived it. He really brought in people in his time that really didn't know much about rodeo and made them become fans of rodeo just because of him, of his personality, of his style of riding. So when you're looking for a subject matter in a documentary film, you really have to have something that will, you know, bust through the ceiling of its own genre. And Casey definitely does that. He has every storyline that a storyteller needs.
Now, I'm sure when you talk about this film with people as you're working on this, some may not have heard of Casey Tibbs. How do you describe him? You did a little bit there, but he was a big personality. He always wore a purple shirt, things like that. I mean, how do you describe him to people that don't know him?
Well, you throw out their names of people that did what Casey did for rodeo that most people know, like a Babe Ruth, a Muhammad Ali. What they did for baseball and what they did for boxing, even modern day Tiger Woods. I mean, think of pre-Tiger Woods and post-Tiger Woods. The game of golf is completely different. Casey did that, and that's pretty much the easy way to do it. And those people in their own right were just these bigger-than-life personalities. Babe Ruth was, Muhammad Ali was, Tiger Woods is. So that's really the quickest and easiest way to describe who Casey was through the 1950s.
How familiar were you with Casey Tibbs before you decided to start work on this documentary?
Well, I grew up on a ranch in South Dakota. I never rodeoed. I was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. But I've gone to countless rodeos. And just being from South Dakota, you know, I knew of him. It wasn't something that was necessarily taught in school or in history. But you just know of the name. You know of his accomplishments. But it's when you really start to, you know, turn those pages and get deeper into his story and the things that paralleled his life is where it really pops off the page. So I just kind of knew the cliff notes, but that's what's fun about research, and that's what I love about diving into all these great books that were written on K3, the history of rodeo and different things like that. That really helps bring more to the table than what people really know.
When did you start diving into the research in the life of Casey Tibbs?
Oh, man. It's probably approaching a year where I've been just full on putting my, you know, heart and soul into who is Casey and who surrounded his life and the events that surrounded his life. So it's been about a year of research, not only research, but, you know, contacting people that either knew him or know a lot about him, because that's really key to the storytelling. So it's already been about a year's worth of work that I've just put in on my own time and dime, if you will.
Have you found that Casey Tibbs' friends and family more than happy to talk with you about him?
Oh, yeah. I can't even count how many times people have simply said, "I loved Casey." Hmm. And I'm talking men and women and everybody in between. I mean, everybody just really seemed to love him and what he stood for. Was he perfect? No. I mean, none of us are perfect, but I think that's really what makes his legacy lasting, is that he did such great things, but he had his imperfections too, that most people kind of know about, or if not, the film will help explain that. But, you know, what a great man.
Now, as you mentioned, Justin, you've been researching and delving into the life of Casey Tibbs for about a year now. As far as the production work itself on the film, where are you at?
When it comes to production, I've gotten a great deal of photographs, of newspaper articles, which is really key to telling the stories. A little bit of fun news we have going on. Actually, this week I'm starting to contact some people. We've kind of rallied up enough money to maybe do two or three trips, so I'm trying to spread that money out the best I can. For example, I'm starting to talk to a few people from two different cities where we could get a total of six interviews. So if we can travel to two different places and get together six interviews with six different people, that would be a great accomplishment, and really, you know, light that fire and get it going strong for the story and for the film. So I'm really excited about that. I hope we can get people booked and scheduled so we can kind of do it, you know, on a three-day weekend or something like that.
Now, you had a Kickstarter campaign this past spring?
We did do a Kickstarter campaign, but if you don't reach your goal, you don't get any of that money. So we didn't reach our goal, so I had to go to a different avenue, which is basically, you know, reaching out to people, businesses, companies within South Dakota, within rodeo, even private individuals, anybody that wants to help preserve not only Casey's story, but a story within South Dakota and a story within professional rodeo. If there's someone out there that wants to help, we've got a lot of great things available. You know, we've teamed up with the Casey Kids Rodeo Center, so if a business wants to come in with a sizable donation, it can be tax deductible. Or if people just want to donate, you know, $50, $100, those things go a long ways when it comes to travel and renting equipment. So, yeah, we're open to any size donation for sure.
It sounds like as a filmmaker, you probably spend just as much time trying to raise films as the actual work on the documentary itself.
Yeah, that's. I actually think you spend more time raising funds and getting things together than actually doing the film. I mean, once we get everything put together, it really won't take that long. I mean, we did The Buffalo King from beginning to end. I'm talking shooting the footage out on that wagon train to the completed project. We did that in a year, and that was with, you know, pretty much people donating their time and their talents to that project. Of course, on this one, we want to be able to pay those people for their time and talents. We can't keep going to that well time and time again. So, but yeah, once we get going, it moves fast. It's just having the funds. People know it's not cheap to fly, to rent cars, to get, you know, hotel rooms and food. Those things really add up when we're trying to get Casey's story. And again, as most people know, Casey was literally worldwide. So we have a lot of ground to cover with his story.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with filmmaker Justin Kaler, who's in the early stages of production on a new documentary about rodeo legend Casey Tibbs. It's called Floating Horses. That title, what does that mean, Floating Horses?
Well, I guess I feel like it has a lot of different meanings. The one that pertains to Casey is when Casey broke on the scene as a teenager, his riding style had never been seen before. It's common now. I mean, no one would probably know any different today, but when he came on the scene, his riding style was revolutionary. And that was one of the big reasons I believe people just flocked to these arenas to watch him, because instead of using brute strength like a lot of the old timers were using, here's this young kid flashing the purple clothes, sitting on top of a saddle, and they called him Rhythm Rider, and it was like he floated atop a horse. The Kid Wonder was another term that people used. So Floating Horses really mirrors how Casey's riding style was and how it really changed the sport of bronc riding.
And I understand that you've recruited a South Dakota saddle bronc rider to portray Casey Tibbs in the film.
Yes, Cole Elsher out of Faith, who a lot of people really predict that at some point he's going to be a world champion himself. He's such a great guy. We're thrilled to have him on board. He's obviously very talented, and that's key. I mean, we can't throw somebody on a horse and film it that really doesn't know what they're doing. We would be discredited right away. And just like the interview previous, you really have to be smart and diligent on your research. And that goes with, okay, how is this guy going to look on top of a horse that's supposed to portray one of the greatest bronc riders in history? So having Cole is huge for us. He's really gonna make those scenes just pop and really give validation, you know, to that rodeo community.
Well, this is a documentary. Why do you need someone to reenact or portray Casey Tibbs?
Well, I want to give it kind of a cinematic look, and I already know a lot of the things we're going to be discussing. For example, a lot of people know the story of Casey going to his first rodeo in White River, and he is hitchhiking alongside the road, and cars would go by, and no one would stop, so he was like, well, the heck with it. I'm going to lay. He lays down in the middle of the road, forcing cars to stop and pick him up and give him a ride. So it'd be fun to be able to do something really cinematic and beautiful, you know, at a sunset or a sunrise out on an empty road and kind of do some really cinematic shots, recreating that moment. You know, nothing would ever exist of a photo or anything like that. So I think those are just, as a photographer, that's like a photographer's dream, you know, an open road, old road, you know, the beautiful South Dakota prairie in the background, the beautiful sun. Just recreating that moment, I think, will give that little bit of cinematic edge to the film that will, again, make it pop to the audience.
As you talk about this film, as we mentioned, in the early stages of production, you're doing the research of the past year, got someone to portray Casey Tibbs, all these things that you have planned. It sounds like this might be kind of a time when you're kind of antsy to get things started, to get this going, to get further along the way here.
Oh, yeah. Antsy is probably an understatement. I mean, I look back at the footage we got on the Buffalo King, and people always compliment on, oh, look how beautiful South Dakota looks. And that's important to me, too, is really showcasing the state. But those are the things, again, as a photographer, I really itch for and I love to do is just create these beautiful scenes and using that great backdrop of South Dakota. So, and the interviews are fun as themselves. You know, it's great to get these really cinematic-looking interviews and dynamic sound bites that you know you're going to get about Casey. But I love to showcase the state of South Dakota, so I can't wait. And I know this year they may be getting a little too much rain in some parts, but it looks, as my parents were saying on the ranch, it looks like Ireland out there. It's beautiful and green, so it would be fun to be shooting now, but unfortunately we don't have the funds. But no matter how much rain we get, it's always beautiful out there on the open plains, so we'll do our best to get that out there.
We've got about a minute left here, Justin Kaler, before I let you go. As I understand, if people are interested in finding out more about the film and Floating Horses, you mentioned the Casey Tibbs Rodeo Center in Pierre. Also, you have a Facebook page?
Yes, sir. Yep. You just go on Facebook and search Floating Horses, and we'll pop up. And as you mentioned, the Rodeo Center has been a great partner with me since the beginning, so people can contact them if they need more information. Or they can email me, JZ as in zebra, and then my last name, KOEHLER @gmail.com. So JZKaler @gmail.com is another way to get a hold of me. But so those three avenues are great, the Facebook, email, or the Rodeo Center.
Okay, and we'll link to that on our webpage later this afternoon. Thanks so much, Justin, for talking with us on Dakota Midday.
Yes, thank you.
Denver-based filmmaker and South Dakota native Justin Kaler is in the early stages of production on the Casey Tibbs documentary Floating Horses. Again, you can find more information on the film on the Facebook page, and we'll have some of those links up later this afternoon.